Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Jordan Roiburn, founder and editor of the Daily Gold. Now, Jordan, we will, as always, focus on the precious metals. We have a couple different nuances to talk about here, but the first topic that I think we should touch on, very simply, is the monthly and quarterly close that we are approaching as of tomorrow on Thursday. Gold on the futures trading $1938. It's up $20 today. A lot of people are looking at that $1920 level for that monthly and quarterly close, as it would be the highest quarterly close for sure in gold. However, look, this month, boy, oh boy, it's been a wild ride for gold, moving the whole way up over 2000 and then coming kind of right back to this mid-1900s. There's nothing wrong with that level when you look back at historic gold prices. Jordan, what are you watching? What do you think is noteworthy for this upcoming monthly and quarterly close for the gold price?
Well, Corey, I would say that given the candle that gold has already made for the month, minus the one more day to come, it's a bearish looking candle. It signals at least an interim peak. And that's because gold, I mean, it opened up at 1900 or whatever it was, and it shot all the way up to almost 2100, you know, 2075. And it's basically given up the majority of that gain. And that's come after, you know, several months of grinding higher. Of course, you have the all-time high resistance in the same level. So that view aligns with, if you're looking at a daily or a weekly chart, they all align and they all signal that gold is in a correction. The correction's probably going to continue. Maybe it's too early to say, but maybe the correction, if you're looking at the daily chart, will evolve into some kind of a bullish consolidation, some kind of bullish triangle perhaps. But we're not even 1 month into this correction yet. And the correction could last, you know, 3, 4, 5 months. That wouldn't be out of the ordinary. And so, you know, getting back to the monthly and quarterly close, it's not going to sway the outcome of what I just, at least my analysis, either way. So in other words, we're at 1938. I mean, if gold has a huge move, I would say it's up 30 or 40 bucks tomorrow. I mean, that would be a great monthly and quarterly close. But if we're looking at the daily chart, you know, that could still happen in the context of a triangle or the context of a bullish consolidation. So I think, at least my view with, you know, what's coming over the next couple of months, that's not going to be that impacted, given that gold has already given up the bulk of its gains for the month. And look, even if gold, like, let's say it closed at 1900 or 1905 or even 1895, that wouldn't change my view that we're still in a, you know, that wouldn't make me that much more bearish. I mean, we're still in a period of correction for gold. But, I mean, the quarterly close, that is a really good sign. I think 1895 is the all-time quarterly high. So gold will probably, knock on wood, make a new all-time quarterly high close tomorrow. And, I mean, just bigger picture, that's a really good sign. I mean, that's reassuring. But, you know, for the most part, I think most people are already bullish on gold and they expect it will break above the high at some point over the months ahead.
Well, I think it's important there, Jordan, that you kind of notated things in different time frames. So on the shorter term, when you're looking at the daily and weekly, you're expecting a couple month corrective move to keep passing through. But on the quarterly, making a new all-time quarterly high is significant for the longer term. And as you mentioned, most people are pretty bullish longer term on gold. So different time frames there for investors to consider, whether they're long-term holders or shorter term traders and investors. As far as the mining stocks, they've held up a little bit better than the metals have. Gold and silver stocks have held up better than gold and silver. So that's at least somewhat encouraging. During this corrective move, do you expect them to get hit pretty hard and start tracking the metals a little closer? Or what's your outlook on the stocks in this upcoming corrective move?
That's a really good question, because at least in my view, I think the stocks have been holding up, at least the indices and ETFs. I think they've been holding up really well. You know, I haven't checked if they're down more than gold and silver are off the high at this point. But I mean, there's, you know, we know that gold filled the gap, I think, from March 1st. The miners didn't. They didn't come that close to filling their gap. If you look at just the daily candles and you look at gold and silver compared to the stocks, I mean, gold and silver, there's a lot more red candles. There's more distribution. There's quite a bit less of those candles. If we're looking at GDX, GDXJ, Huey, SILJ, et cetera. But your question is a really good one. And so my sense is we could see some kind of bullish consolidation in the miners. I mean, it's already formed to some degree where a couple of days ago, the miners were able to rally back close to their highs in early March. You know, they sold off a little bit, had a really good recovery yesterday. So that's my sense, is that this bullish consolidation in the miners will continue. And it looks like it could be a bull flag. Whereas with gold could develop into some kind of a triangle consolidation, which would be bullish. But I mean, a bull flag, that's really when you're looking at what is the most bullish consolidation, it's a bull flag. And so to me, the miners are forming bull flags. I mean, we'll have a better idea of that with more certainty a couple weeks into the future. But, you know, I'll note what happened in 2009, because it's interesting. And that's one similar point to where gold is today, where gold, after coming out of a steep correction, gold rallied back to a new all-time high, and then it consolidated and corrected before breaking it. And so during that correction consolidation period in 2009, which we're in now, from the peak in February to the point when gold broke out, of course, gold, you know, its price change was essentially zero. However, if you look at GDX, I think it was up about 15%. If you look at the parent index of GDXJ, MVIS, there's a website, and so you can see that chart going back to 2004. And so I looked at that. That was up 20% during that period. So in other words, you know, do I think miners, you know, can they make a higher high even if gold is correcting? I mean, that would be the next step of their relative strength. And so there is a precedent for that. Me being conservative, I would say, yeah, I don't know if I expect that. But again, there is a historical precedent for that. But that aside, I mean, the miners have been holding up really well. And that's why I'm not that concerned about this correction in gold. I mean, you had a really strong move. You know, mostly a war move. It had to be corrected, and it's going to take at least a couple more months. But given how the miners are performing, I mean, that's just really, really encouraging, because during a sector correction, when they perform like this, it really augurs for big gains for the next leg higher. But that being said, that doesn't mean they're going to break out and run to the moon tomorrow or next week or next month. You know, that could take a couple more months, or maybe even 4 or 5 months. It's just these bullish consolidations. Remember, the longer they last, I mean, that's all the more fuel they have to not only break out, but then make those kind of vertical moves.
Jordan, you mentioned the war premium, and it's something we've talked about for about the last month. The war in Ukraine started Thursday, February 24th, and we look at where stuff is trading right now. Gold is not up all that much from when the war started. Gold was a little over 1900 when the war started. GDX, though, that's up about 10%. And then comparing that to U.S. markets, U.S. markets have actually outperformed gold now when you go back to that time frame. If you go back to the beginning of the year, gold has done better. GDX still has outperformed the markets, whether you look at it from the start of the war or the start of this year. What do you take away from just looking in short time frames, one being from the start of the year and one being really just in the last month due to the war? What's more noteworthy to you?
Well, when I look at the gold to the S&P ratio, it's made a clear move higher. I mean, it looks like it bottomed right around the beginning of the year. As you noted, it's come off a good amount due to the stock market rallying. I mean, I'm not trying to evade your question, but I think looking at the macro market situation can provide some color. So the stock market got really oversold. Sentiment was really over bearish. So predictably, there was going to be some kind of a rally. You know, now all the yield curves, you know, the 10s, 2s, they inverted yesterday. So that's a bad omen. However, when you look at the data, which I don't have in front of me or recall, sadly, at the moment, but you know, the recession can come in 8 months, it can come in 12 months, it can come in 16 months. So it's varied. And at the same time, we know that the stock market will peak and roll over before the recession starts. But the, you know, getting back to why this is important for gold, you know, over the next 6 to 9 months or so, the stock market can rally and perhaps make a new all-time high, because that often happens after the yield curve inverts. But that point is really, I mean, that's really the last chance to get out of Dodge. It's really, you know, when the stock market makes that new high several months after the inversion, it's really a warning and really a sell signal. And so getting back to gold, the stock market continuing to perform well, maybe this rally has some more legs, maybe it makes a new all-time high, that's going to align with gold continuing to correct and consolidate. And looking at the price action gold, at least on the daily chart, I mean, this is something that's going to take, as I said, more than a couple months to play out. You could get some kind of bullish consolidation that develops. So that's going to take some time. And so during that time, post-inversion, you have the stock market rallying and making a new all-time high, perhaps. And then at that point, you know, somewhere, I don't know if it's 6 months, 9 months, 5 months, 4 months, whatever, just pick a time. Gold is going to be set up very well technically, getting ready to make that next leg higher, while the stock market puts in a very, very significant market top.
Yeah, that will be an interesting time of divergence, where maybe some of the generalists, after that top rolls over in the general markets, do finally make their way over to the safe haven of gold, and eventually maybe even find the mining stocks. You brought up the tens and the twos there. Do you think that interest rates are having an effect short term on gold? I've noticed that when gold, the 10-year was getting up to like that 2.4 to 2.48 level, gold was under pressure. Now that it's fallen down below there, and it's, I think it's currently at 2.358, gold has had a better day. Do you think that the 10-year interest rates or interest rates in general are having any effect on gold?
For sure, they're having some impact, but I think that the bigger impact right now is, you know, we saw gold shoot up. I mean, I think it gained, looking at it, about $300 in 5 weeks or so. So we're seeing the air come out of that move, although gold is still, you know, I don't know if it's retraced 50 or 62% yet. I'd have to check. So we're seeing the air come out of that move. You know, obviously there was a lot of spec positioning. You know, they bought the war news. There was some more buying that surprised me and the market, and gold kind of went vertical in a mini time sense. And so that money is coming out of gold, you know, the spec money. It's going to take some time. So I think that, I mean, to me, that's more of a factor than short-term interest rates going up or down. But I do think that, to go back to something else you said, I do think we are seeing some generalist money come into the sector, because not only are the stocks holding up really well, I mean, across the board, but especially the bigger stocks, and, you know, Newmont, Franco, I think generalist money has already moved into some of those plays. And I think the smart generalist money, they see that gold is correcting here, and that, you know, there's only going to be a number of months to really get into miners and gold at cheap levels, you know, because eventually if the stock market rolls over and the market senses recession, that's going to be a bullish catalyst for gold and, you know, precious metals breaking higher. So I could be wrong. I don't see interest rates as a big factor right now. However, I will say that, you know, typically we see interest rates rise. At least recently, it's been a late stage thing where they kind of rise, you know, as the Fed's hiking before the end of the cycle. And then at some point they peak and roll over. And so perhaps when they peak and roll over, you know, that could align with these things I've been talking about in the last two answers, you know, that the peak and a rollover in interest rates could align with, you know, the Fed having to stop, rising fears about a recession, et cetera, et cetera. So that's my view on bond yields right now.
Jordan, to your point about more interest coming into the sector, thanks to some of the majors moving higher, if we look broadly at something like GDX or GDXJ, we have continued, unfortunately, to see declining volumes post that March spike or the COVID crash. The fact of the matter is volumes seem to still be drifting broadly in this sector. I know you don't follow volumes that much, but what's your takeaway from that, where it seems like capital still very much is concentrated on a couple stocks, but again, volume is not spiking, so there's not that many people rushing in?
Yeah, when I look at GDXJ in a daily chart of the volume, I mean, the volume did pick up a little bit in February and March, and that was early March. You know, now it's come off quite a bit. My sense is, with respect to our sector, we have seen some generalist money come in, but, you know, they went into GLD, Newmont, Franco, Barrick, those types of plays. And, you know, the only money, you have that money, and then you have the other money, I would say, that's been more active is like people like us who are follow the sector and invest and trade in it for a living. I think those types of people are getting a little bit more active. However, I mean, other than that, we're not seeing a huge push into smaller juniors. And, you know, GDXJ, aside from a little increase we got in February and early March, I think that it'll probably take gold breaking above 2100 and, you know, making that really significant breakout. That to me will be the point when we start to see a lot more money come in. But certainly I think that smart money is quietly accumulating during this correction, because this is a correction in gold and silver. And yet, as we've already said, GDX, GDXJ, SILJ, they're all holding up really, really well. So I think the smart money is accumulating. And eventually, I mean, higher prices will bring in more people. And so I think gold making that breakout above 2100, that's going to be a real inflection point for a lot of money coming into the sector. And that also means that over the next couple of months or 4 or 5 months, I mean, this could be your last chance to really invest in, you know, high quality things at reasonable prices. Because if we see gold break above 2100 and you get to 2500, I mean, quality is not going to be cheap anymore.
Yeah, to your point too, it'd also be nice just to see gold and the stocks truly outperform these markets to a greater degree than we have seen for that brief period of time. That can also draw in more money. Jordan, thank you as always for your time, buddy. It's great hearing what you're looking at in the charts, and we are approaching a monthly and quarterly close that should be good for the precious metals. We'll see if it draws in any more investors. Jordan, thank you as always for your time, man. I hope you have a great rest of your week.